Hey guys, welcome back for another episode of the Game Boys podcast. I believe it's episode 12. It's June 2nd, 2018. I've got my best boy, Bowman, right here with me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast.
Got a lot of interesting things to talk about. A lot of some of the pre-E3 news starting to come out, where basically companies are starting to, you know, sprinkle out what they don't want to cover at their conferences, basically, getting stuff out of the way early. Before we start that, you got any news? Anything you've been up to?
No news, man. Just living the dream. What about you?
Yeah, same shit, you know. Just still chipping away at that old Darkest Dungeon.
Oh, yeah, I'm chipping away at Cave Story Plus right now.
Okay, well, all right, well, then we'll go right into it. What do you got for us today?
Well, I guess we'll just dive right into the Pokemon announcements.
Okay.
We got Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee, you can get as well.
Yeah, we talked about this last week
that it was happening. It's a
that it was rumored, and then they made the big announcement.
And it's a Pokemon Yellow remake.
What it looks like.
Looks like it. It's like
first gen. It's I'm excited for it because I'm not a huge Pokemon fan, so but I do like the first gen. And I will play this game.
Yeah, when Pokemon Go came out, I did not care at all. I understood the appeal, but this is like taking that Pokemon Go concept and actually making it something that I'm mildly interested in.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of where I'm at with it. I like the fact that if you don't know anything about it, it's kind of they haven't really flat out said it, but it looks like a remake of Pokemon Yellow. So it's got the first generation Pokemon, and then you have that attachment to one Pokemon. There's going to be an Eevee version or a Pikachu version. And the controls in regards to how you capture Pokemon is done in the same spirit of Pokemon Go. You use one Joy-Con,
it's like motion controls.
Motion controls, timing-based. And you can even do co-op play, and it looks like there's trainer battles still. It looks cool. I don't know if it's a $60 game. That's the only kind of downside for me is the fact that it's $60.
Mm-hmm.
Because it looks pretty bare. But
I mean, it looks like a first-gen Pokemon game. Yeah. But with newer graphics and probably some of the newer systems in play. Like, they didn't introduce until the later games, like, where you can split the experience up between all your party. Instead, you would have to, like in the first gen, you would have to move your Pokemon that you wanted to level up to the front, basically. And after time, they made it so you could spread the XP across your party and stuff. So, you know, things like that will be in it. But, yeah. And it's kind of like uncertain whether or not you're going to, whether it'll be traditionally, like, XP-driven, like through battles and stuff, or if it's just going to be like for currency in the battle, and the XP is earned through, you know. It looks like it could be a very like casual version.
I think it's normie Pokemon is what they're going for this one. This is not necessarily a bad thing. Pokemon's
hopefully not, but
so
yeah.
I don't. That's why I'm kind of back and forth. Where it could be something I'm interested in, but it very well could just be very.
Well, we have a friend who. Snyder, his mom played Pokemon Go, and she liked it so much that he got her like a 2DS with the Pokemon Sun or Moon.
Oh wow!
And it was too complicated for her to like figure out how to play. So that's a perfect example of like what they might be going for.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully not. I would love a Pokemon Yellow remake. I would play that. I'm sure my wife will like it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, she wants it, and I'm sure she'll play it. So, there's that. It's just, Pokemon's already, like, a a baby RPG. So,
well, that's the thing. That's why I'm just like, Pokemon's already baby RPG, so how exactly. much more dumbed down do I want it mm-hmm. to be at that point? So
the most interesting thing to me is that they're making their first non-traditional Joy-Con in the form of
the Pokeball.
Yeah, with the analog stick in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. So that's the first officially announced, you know, non-traditional Joy-Con, so that should be interesting. You know, a few other highlights from that were that they announced that the main Pokemon game that's coming out for Switch will be in 2019. So, to me, that I think that it's more likely that Metroid Prime 4 could be coming this year or something like that. Some big, maybe not a game of that caliber, but, you know, like maybe an Animal Crossing or whatever. I don't think that Smash Brothers is going to be the only big, like, fall game.
I really hope not.
Well, I very much believe that Smash Brothers will launch with the online system in September. And that's when it launched the last game. They came out in September. So that's my belief, is that Smash Brothers will come out in September, and then in November, they always release a big game in November. So I've said it multiple times on this podcast that there was like a statement by the Pokemon or the Nintendo of Europe CEO who basically was like, yeah, we have Metroid Prime 4 and coming out this year.
Oh, right. So, or he like had to backtrack on that.
Yeah. Right. So I think there will be a big game, and that just confirms it for me. I think if the main Pokemon game is coming out this year, that would be the big game on top of Smash Brothers. But now that that's confirmed that it's coming in 2019, I do think there will be a big game this fall. There always is. There always is.
Yeah.
It's got to be that Christmas game, that Christmas gift game. Last year it was Mario Odyssey.
Well, whatever it is, we're going to find out soon.
Yeah. And then there was the one other game.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
I don't know anything about it, really, except for it's Pokemon pay-to-play, basically. Quest.
Well, yeah, it's a free-to-start game.
It's a free-to-start and pay-to-play game. So
I have barely touched it. I opened it up. I did actually download it. It's just like a game where you go around and your Pokemon battles other Pokemon, but it's like really automatic. Press moves and stuff. Really don't know how to describe it so far. I think it's not really meant to be anything more than what they're advertising it. I think it's really just a mobile game that is beyond your Switch.
Mm-hmm. I think it's like, it seemed to me, I've done no research on this game, but it seemed to me like it was almost like a time and resource management type of thing. Like if you've ever played, it almost seemed kind of like a the Chao Garden and
Sonic
Adventure.
That's not a bad way to look at it, yeah.
I don't know if you ever played that.
I did.
So, I dumped so many hours into the Chao Gardens. Yeah, like 100, like 100
the GameCube
hours.
One or the Dreamcast one?
Both. I had 120 hours on Sonic Adventure 2 Battle, and that game's only 10 hours long. So, yeah, I put a lot of time into those games. But yeah, so it looks like some bullshit mobile game, you know.
Because it's on Switch and it will be released on mobile later.
Oh, so later. It is coming to mobile.
It will be. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's just a mobile game that they put on the Switch.
Eesh.
So
okay.
It's just
interest in it.
I mean, I don't blame them. It's like, might as well.
Yeah, I just hope it's not a sign of things to come. Like, just because the Switch is a portable system, I don't want to see more of that bullshit of, like, free-to-play games and stuff. And from Nintendo. If third parties want to release it, like, games like that, I don't care. But from Nintendo, I don't want to see pay-to-play games
I don't think that will happen just because of how unsuccessful their current mobile games have really been. Animal Crossing did all right, but that Miitomo game is already off. Isn't it already shut down?
Yeah, they shut it down. Which is kind of dumb. It's like, any game, any mobile game is gonna drop vastly in popularity. It's like, just because it wasn't as popular as they wanted, they're like, well, we're getting rid of it. And it's just like, fuck you.
Okay, well then,
people that have probably invested money and stuff into this game.
Well, it just makes me not want to bother with any of their mobile games at all. Mm-hmm. Just like, that they require any type of investment.
Yeah. Yep. So, all right. Well, moving on then. I mean, there's not much to say. We don't have that many details on it. So, one of the interesting things that got announced this week that I wanted to talk about was Fallout 76.
Fallout 76.
So
what do we know about it so far?
Okay, so it from what we can gather, it takes place before any other Fallout. It's the first vault that is opened, only like 20 years after the war. And so it's like a prequel origin type of story. We don't know yet if it's based on, or if it's like a story-based game like the other ones are. Fallout is more narrative driven than its counterpart, like Elder Scrolls.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's very much about the story for a lot of those fans. I don't care so much, because I just like the humor and the setting and stuff. But there are people, like, the reason why Fallout 3 is like hated amongst hardcore Fallout fans is because the story was stupid or whatever. Now, I had never played any of the Fallout games before Fallout 3. So I loved it, but I guess for hardcore Fallout fans, there was a lot of complaints because it was like, it was the furthest along in the story and like time wise, and the society was like the least developed. It was like all stupid and decrepit, and like everyone was worthless still. And that, I guess the argument was like, in the grand scheme of things, it didn't really make sense why like this it's society has been rebuilding for like 200 years now, and they still haven't gone beyond living in like huts and stuff when they were already moving beyond that in the old games. So that, and then, but anyway, so it's very narrative driven though, and the story, I guess, makes or breaks it. I don't keep up too much with the war. I played Fallout 3, loved it, played it more than I would play 90% of other games. Played and beat Fallout New Vegas. Didn't do all the like extra stuff, but I did play it, you know, played through the story, beat it 30 hours or whatever. So basically Fallout 76, yeah, it takes place before any of the other Fallouts. It's the first vault to open, and rumor has it, and these are apparently from anonymous sources that are working on the game but didn't want to be named because they don't want their careers to be ruined, are saying that it's a, I don't know if you've heard this or not, saying it's like a online survival game, like DayZ or like H1Z1 and stuff like that. If that's the case, this could be very interesting. You know, they're working on, everyone's trying to get on that train of like online games that you know, you just continuously release content for, and they never stop being supported, basically, and people play them forever. And I don't, like, that sounds like a pretty cool idea for a Fallout game in the universe, is like a online survival game. The only thing for me is that I like the VAT system. I like how it's like a first-person shooter, but it's almost like a turn-based RPG.
Yeah.
I like that aspect of it. I didn't like Fallout 4 because they focus so much on the shooter aspect of it, which I've never been interested in. So they turned it into like a Call of Duty game, basically. And I played it, and I'm like, this is stupid. I don't care about this. I liked the RPG aspects of it. So I'm curious to see what they do. What do you think? Does this sound interesting to you at all? You played Fallout
New Vegas, right? Fallout New Vegas. I don't have too much passion for this type of game, but I mean, like, if you can create a cool online experience, I'd be open to it. And I've never really played like these survival type games before.
Yeah.
Like, can you tell me more about them? Like, I don't even really understand like the concept.
So, it's it's almost like sort of like PUBG or whatever, I guess, but not so much like a round, like finite round base. It's like you get dropped into a server, you join a server, and like you start with nothing, and you kind of have to like just gather
And
materials and build weapons and things like that, and
meet up with other players and kind of
form groups or just fuck it everyone over and steal and kill them and steal their stuff. So,
I mean, yeah, I mean, Fallout's got a great aesthetic to it that would work really well if they did it.
The problem for me with these games and online games in general is I feel like developers are always missing that last like X factor of like to get me interested. Like those types of games, I'm not interested in hopping around from server to server or like in a game like that. I would want but the problem is that I think that there's a place for a game that's like an MMO that's not an MMO. And that's what I always feel like is missing from these types of games. Like, just a never-ending, always-on server that's massive and doesn't have a limit to, like, how many people can play in it. And you always can just come in and out, and you have, like, maybe, like, a base or something in there that's always there. And, yeah, like, that's what I always feel like is missing in games like that, is I have little interest in joining a 30-person server, fucking around in it for a few hours, and then everyone leaves or stops coming in or whatever, and you end up going to a different server, starting all over again. Like, that's always how those games seem to go. And to get me truly interested, I need, like, I would want, like, a community type of thing. So, that's where I'm at with it. Sounds interesting. I'm looking forward to the real reveal at E3. Thought it was an interesting choice for them to tease it before the conference. Maybe just to so people aren't disappointed when they announce it that it's not a new.
Right. It's not like not a flat out sequel.
Yeah. Exactly. So. Yeah. Because that's what they do. They announce these things ahead of time because they want to, like, lessen the blow, basically. So, yeah. What else you got?
I guess we'll just dive right into this one since you're talking about these survival online games. We talked about PUBG and Fortnite recently, and PUBG creators are actually suing Epic Games over Fortnite's Battle Royale mode right now.
Yeah, it was just a matter of time, I thought.
Yeah. I don't really know how to feel about this because I feel like this Battle Royale mode is not that original. It's been done before.
Yeah. It's tough because on one hand you're right, but if you look at the two games side by side, it's clearly just like a direct ripoff. Like they fly out of a plane and you have to like decide where to land and stuff, and like it's the same game, it's just with different art style, and then you also build stuff. Like, that's the only difference. I'm curious to see where this lawsuit goes, because I think it would set an interesting precedent, depending on either way, whether it goes either way, whether they win the lawsuit or whether they lose the lawsuit. I'm curious to see how it goes and how it will affect game development moving forward, as far as like clone games go and stuff.
Yeah, I don't really know how to feel about it. My gut reaction is that kind of bullshit, but it's funny. Even like one other detail about it is that PUBG is based. I got this article from Engadget. PUBG is based on Epic's widely distributed Unreal Engine, which they're suing Epic. So it's just gonna create some weird relationship on that front.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, don't understand where this court case will go, but as you said, I guess the real conversation to have about it is like, yeah, the game development future, how will this affect custom modes? Because there's so many times where, like, some random game comes out with some game mode and people really like it, and then people start asking for it in different games. Like, you know, maybe some modder comes up with something.
Right.
And then, you know, Overwatch is a great example. People are like, oh my god, you guys should bring that mode to Overwatch. That'd be so cool.
Right.
So, I don't know how to feel about it. I feel like it's really hard to prove who did it originally when it comes to these shooters, because everything's fucking been done.
So what's your thought on, in general, of games that are copycat games, basically?
You mean, like, I guess a better example would be, like, there's a game called Paladins, which is, like, very clearly similar to Overwatch.
Paladins?
Yeah, Paladins.
Okay.
Yeah.
It ain't Paladins, it's Paladins.
Paladins? Oh.
I have no idea, actually.
Well, either
don't
way.
Know this game.
Tomato, tomato.
It's tomato.
That game got a lot of grief because it was, like, ridiculously similar looking to Overwatch, but then there was, like, debate whether how long ago.
Okay, that's another thing, though, with Fortnite, too, is that they've clearly ripped off, like, characters straight out of Overwatch.
Right.
So, they basically, that entire game is just a ripoff of all the most popular games of the last couple of years.
I think people should, you know, obviously protect their properties, and if it's just, like, clearly, like, complete ripoff in every shape or form, I get it, but I don't know. Most game developers, it's hard to even really talk about it, just because game developers get inspiration from each other constantly. Yeah. Like, you know, so many games that we know are, like, directly inspired by other games.
Well, someone's got to do it first.
Yeah.
So
I don't really know how I completely feel about it. I guess I'm more of the notion that as long as you didn't, like, as long as it's slightly different enough, I don't think it's that big of a deal. I think clearly the original one or whichever game is better will prevail. Unless it's, like, a clearly original idea, because Overwatch isn't even an original idea to begin with as well. It's based off of Team Fortress 3, which they've had no issues saying that. They got inspiration from Team Fortress 3.
Team Fortress 2.
Fortress 2, rather, and that's where Overwatch came from. And you can even argue that Overwatch's, like, style was, like, derived from, like, Pixar. Mm-hmm. And, like, how they were going for that look and everything. So, and just, it's hard to, like, put, like, a copyright on, like, well, we came up with the cartoony look in shooter games, and it's just like, well, no, we did. Like, it's just a never-ending line of people being like, no, we did that. And I think at the end of the day, I think it's a game developer should always try to protect their property. Like, I get that, their creative property. But in regards to the gaming community, and, you know, as gamers, just, I hate saying that, but I'm just saying in terms of the actual end product, gamers are always going to benefit from more and more ideas and more innovation from those ideas and building on top of it. I just think I'm only against it when it's just a blatant, complete carbon copy. Like, you know, you get China knockoff games where they did a Splatoon mobile game in China, and it's like, it's exactly Splatoon on mobile phone. Like, that's not okay.
Yeah. Well, while we're on the topic of Fortnite, I don't know if you heard this or not, but Fortnite has basically been all but confirmed for the Switch.
Yeah.
Did you hear about that?
I did see that.
They've seen, I mean, there's pictures been leaked of it playing on Switch. There's, you know, like, it's one of the worst kept secrets of E3. Mm-hmm. Which this was just a matter of time. It's not a particularly demanding game, and it's the most popular game on the planet right now. Mm-hmm. So I think it was just a matter of time. What do you think what do you think this means for Switch? Like, to me, this is a huge deal.
Oh, it's great. It's putting Switch in the ring with other consoles.
It's like what should have been going on all this time.
Yeah, no, it's great news for Nintendo, just because the obnoxious people who, and I mean, I've said this time and time again, that you look in every YouTube section of any game announced ever, and there's always a giant slew of people, where's the Switch version, not buying until the Switch version comes out. So I think it's great news. I think you're kind of getting what you wanted out of the Switch almost from this, just because you were afraid that third-party developers would just ignore it. Yeah. And they can't anymore. I think they wanted to.
Yeah.
I think they most definitely wanted to ignore it because it's just a because I'm sure it's a pain in the ass to get some of these games running on, and they're like, God, there's such an audience for this now that we're stupid not to develop games on it now.
Well, that's all it is. Once it becomes economically viable, they'll do it.
Yeah.
It's just, it's so refreshing to see this stuff because they've been, Nintendo's been so bad about not being inclusive to, like, these types of games. They've made no effort. You know, they could have reached out all these years and been like, we'll help you, you know, make the game. We'll co-develop it with you, the port
they tried
or whatever.
For,
like,
if, Bayonetta 2 was, that was basically
sure,
that.
Sure, sure. But, but that was almost like a... that's like a first party game basically.
Yeah.
You know, that so to see this is a really relieving thing because this is the type of thing they've been missing for the last 15 years, really.
It makes me more comfortable just because as you know, I'll be I'm going to be downsizing more and more these days. It'll be really nice to know that a lot of great big games will be coming out on Switch and I don't have to worry about having multiple consoles.
I mean, I'll probably try out Fortnite.
Yeah,
now
why not?
If it's
I'll try it.
Because it's free to play, too. So
Switch has that weird thing where, like, I don't get it, and I still don't, I don't understand where, like, when a game comes out on it, like an indie game, a game that I've had, like, right in front of my face on, like, PS4, and I have an Xbox, and I have a PC, when that comes out on Switch, for whatever reason, you're just like, yeah, I guess I'll try it.
Because of the convenience.
Yeah. But it's funny, though, because it's just, it's not like we're playing handheld mode that much, you and I.
Yeah, but just having the option, saying, like, because it's tough for me. I won't want to start a game on my PC. Well, it's less for me because I have my PC hooked up to the same system as all my other consoles. But, like, someone like you, if you have a PC game, you don't even want to start it because it's like, well, the only time I can play it is if I sit at my desk and, you know, boot up my computer and stuff. So you're less likely to play it. You know, it's going to take longer to play. And every time you play it, it's got to be this whole big thing. And the Switch gives you that comfort of going, well, I'll play it. And if I get into it, I know that I can play it. And when on the go, I can play it on, you know, commute or whatever. I can play it on a trip. You know that you're going to have it with you.
There are a lot of problems with the Switch, but one thing is even just beyond the handheld aspect is that it's very fast in regards to like getting in and playing a game.
Yep.
Like fast, it really is back almost to like console cartridges days with this system.
Yeah.
Like they even don't even like force you to update the game. You can just get into it whenever you feel like it. Like
yeah. I always put it in just the rest mode or whatever, and within from the moment you decide I'm going to play my Switch,
5 seconds you're playing
to
the game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like less than 30 seconds the system is on, you're in the game playing it. You know, it's just right where you left it off, and it just makes it so convenient. And
can't
even
say
this,
that for other
even
the, right now.
Especially going from like the TV mode to handheld mode where it's just like you know, I come downstairs, my wife is watching something on TV, and without a second thought, without having any hassle, you know, I don't even have to mess with the TV. I just walk by,
grab it
out of the dock, and it's already on and like where I want it to be. And I just sit on the couch and I'm already in the game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's awesome. And I think that's why you're more likely to play it. It's just the convenience. And it's not even the convenience. It's the comfort of knowing that the convenience is there if you need it. That's what it is. It's that security.
I'm playing my Vita less and less because of it, just because it's just so nice. And like there's certain Vita games that I own where I'm kind of like, man, kind of wish I had that on Switch instead.
The Vita is Vita did the same thing, though. The Vita is very good at going from the system is off to you're in the game in 30 seconds.
Oh, absolutely it is.
Because it has that suspend feature.
Yeah, no, it's great for that. I'm just talking in terms of, like, if I want to go back and forth from my TV and system, my handheld.
Yeah, for sure. So, all right. What else you got for us?
Nothing big, but I just, I'm excited for this. Excited and not, like, whatever. But just more Switch news. Hero Blaster, which is Studio Pixel's follow-up to Cave Stories, going to the Switch. Just another quick... I feel like every week I, like, slip in a little indie announcement. But Hero Blaster is, like, another... You saw footage of it. Limited runs today. Physical release for it for PS4.
Uh-huh.
And I actually had... I went from having zero interest into it to really want to play in it. Because it's developed by Studio Pixel, who did Cave Story, which I'm really into right now. And my little brother has the PS4 one, and the music is really good, and the battles look like a lot of fun. It's got this really cool charm to it where it's not just pixel art for the sake of being pixel art. It's actually pretty well done, and it has a nice, good look to it. So I'm actually excited to possibly own that in a Switch. I think maybe you should hold off on getting it something, because I recommended it to you when I saw my brother playing it that uh-huh. this is definitely a game that you would enjoy.
So what is it, platformer?
Yeah, it's a platformer shooting game.
Okay, so it's kind of like Mutant Muds.
Yeah, exactly. So okay. kind of a Metroidvania game ish, but I highly recommend Cave Story already, and Hero Blaster is just like the spiritual successor to Cave Story, really. Another shooter game, really good music, really cool boss battles. And the thing that I like about Cave Story that happens in Hero Blaster 2 is that... I like it and don't like it, is that it really rewards you for going to a harder path. Because a lot of games, they'll just make the game harder.
Right.
And this game is just like... My brother's playing it the second time, and he's doing the really hard mode. And actually, the levels are different, and even the bosses, like, are different.
That's how Sonic is.
Oh, really?
Like Sonic Mania. Yeah, like, if you go the harder path, there's, like, that's where the, like, secret bonus levels and stuff are and whatnot. So, yeah. Did you play, or do you have any interest in that new Bloodstained game?
I have plenty of interest into it. I just haven't got to it yet.
Yeah,
do you know anything about it?
It's a prologue Kickstarter bonus for the actual game, which the actual game Bloodstained, I forget the name of the subtitle. The actual full game is
Ritual of the Night.
Okay, the actual full game Ritual of the Night is like a 16 or 32 bit style, like Symphony of the Night, which is where they get the name. It's made from the creators of the Castlevania series. So this is basically an unofficial Castlevania series.
It looks really good.
Yeah, so the main game is in the style of Symphony of the Night. You know, it's less linear and more RPG-ish, and it's done in the similar art style. The game that just came out was a Kickstarter bonus, and it's like a prologue, and it's done in an 8-bit style. Like
Castlevania 3, pretty much.
Right, Castlevania 3, yeah. And sounded like an 8-bit NES style. Apparently, it's done really well, and it's basically it's a Castlevania game from all reports. I imagine it's very difficult. Those games always were. And yeah, like I said, it's done by the same guys as Castlevania, so it's, you know, Konami didn't want to make the game, so now they're doing it on their own.
That's awesome.
And it's a great success story. Another example, like a bad example of like Mighty No. 9, where they Capcom just won't make a new, they're coming out with one now, but they just wouldn't make a new Mega Man game. So the creator was like, okay, I'll just go make my own.
Fuck it up.
Sure. It was bad example, but it, you know, it didn't happen. No, it's
still cool that, well, like,
hopefully it sets a precedent.
Like Ukulele, where, you know, it's that one's back and forth about how people feel about it. I hear a lot of people really like it, and that it's a Banjo-Kazooie like
the problem,
sequel that we were never going to get.
The problem that I saw with it, from what I could tell, was that it was like extremely like mediocre, especially in like that category of games. And it's like the problem you have then is, why am I going to waste time playing a game that's styled after a 20-year-old game and
right.
it's mediocre? Like,
yeah.
I'm not, you know. Maybe if they did a Banjo-Kazooie 3 for real or whatever, and it was same team, and they did a really good job with it, then people would be interested in going back. But it's, you know, I'm not going to go back to a style of game that was popular 20 years ago and it's not even as good as those ones, what's the point? I think that was the issue with Yooka-Laylee. So it wasn't particularly bad, it just wasn't good, wasn't even as good as, you know, the mediocre ones back then. So
I got my eye on Bloodstained for sure. I just have a lot of Metroidvania games I need to get through first.
Yeah, that I own. This one's not a Metroidvania, I don't think. I think it's pretty linear.
Well, I guess I meant that, you know, in a similar style, like a similar genre of games. Like I got Momodora, I still have to play that. You have it.
Yeah.
I still have Axiom Verge. I got that for the Vita. I'm gonna play that.
Yeah, I love that game. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm kind of on a... After I beat Cave Store, I'm kind of on that kick where I'm like, yeah, I kind of want to go ahead and just keep
playing. Well, the great thing is that the three games you listed off are vastly different, like, art style and setting and stuff like that. Yeah. So, yeah. I'm out of those three, I'm mostly... I already beat Axiom Verge, but I'm mostly interested in Momodora. I'm pretty high on my list of games to start.
Yeah, it looks really good.
I mean, it's everything I want out of a game. It's like anime style, like anime girls and vampires and fucking Metroidvania. Yeah. So it's like everything I would want out of a game is in it. The package just looks awesome. I really like the art style and stuff. So yeah. All right, what else you got? I'm all tapped out on topics.
Well, let's remind our listeners that I didn't play it yet, but Mario Tennis Aces started their demo today. So from June 1st, 9 o'clock Eastern time, till Sunday, June 3rd, I believe the same time, 9 o'clock Eastern goes by California time, they'll be... you can play the Mario Tennis game Aces for free right now to try out online. Like, they've done this for Splatoon, they did this for ARMS, and now they're doing it for Mario
It's such
tennis.
A smart business model.
Hey, help me out for ARMS.
Yeah.
I didn't buy it because of that.
Well, yeah, I almost bought it, and I had a lot of fun with it, too, is the thing. That's why I almost bought it, and thankfully I just took a step back and was like, am I going to play this for like $60? Am I gonna get $60 worth of entertainment out of it?
The answer was no.
For me, I was like, if it was $20,
I would have got it in a heartbeat for $20.
Yeah. But
yeah. I'll download it and play it tonight.
Yeah, I'll probably pass right out tonight, but I'll probably play it tomorrow for a little bit. But you can unlock characters and stuff, and you even get a free bonus costume. For playing, you end up actually buying the game. Special outfit for Mario that can be used in the full version of the game.
Nice.
So, wow, bonuses for free. They're giving this away. So
I can't believe they're giving this stuff away.
Can't believe it. So
it's only going to cost 1,000 Miitomo points when it comes out.
So, I mean, I want this game to be good. I really do. I would love a really good... Because I like playing sports games.
Give me my Mario Golf! Yeah,
I like Nintendo sports games. They're fun. And I like... I want to get back into tennis sports games, and this would be the great way to do it.
You know what would be a better way to do it, actually? Is if you go out and buy one of those Virtua Tennis arcade machines...
That's what was in my head.
That would get you.
That was the last tennis game that I really liked.
The one in Rockies? Hours.
I played a little bit of Rockies, but I'm talking like virtual tennis for Dreamcast.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Just go out and get the virtual tennis arcade machine.
Arcade machine.
That'll get you back into tennis games.
Way back into it. And the cool part about this game is that it looks like it's going to be a mix up of pro and casual. Like, it looks like it's got a lot of serious like pro elements to it, and like it gets more in depth. But it also has the motion control, and, you know, sometimes you just want to pull out a motion controller and, like, play tennis with a friend, like, easily, you know, because it's just...
Evo, I'm coming for you.
I want more of these. I do think that there is still a place for, like, Wii Sports-type titles. I don't want them to be the main thing. I don't want Nintendo to make the mistake they did in the past, where the problem they made in the past is that we got Wii Music in 2008, where they thought that this is what everyone wanted, which is not... But I do think that there is a place in the market still for people who want to hey, I got some friends over. Oh, I don't really play any video games. No, 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 no. Don't worry. You can play this one.
Oh, there's a place for it. It's in the old folks' home.
My mom actually bought a Wii U just because she wanted to, like, have Wii Sports and play all those old games again.
Yeah, how'd it go with the tablet? Swinging that thing around?
She's not swinging that thing around. Don't worry.
So what, did she buy a bunch of Wiimotes with it?
No, I mean, we have Wiimotes in the house. So she already has Wiimote. She already had a Wii. It's just that...
Did she have the Wii Motion Plus, though?
Yes, she does.
Okay.
But the issue with the Wii was is that it doesn't output an HDMI, and I went ahead and I tried to help her set it up with, like, an HDMI, like, converter thing, but it just didn't work properly. And, of course, I just... mildly mention, maybe the Wii U works better. And then, of course, I show up the next day and the Wii U is, like, hooked up. I'm like, oh, okay, I guess you got a Wii U now.
Doesn't she have a Switch that she never used?
Well, you know, it's I guess it's my brother's.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I'll check out Mario Aces tonight, probably.
Yeah, let's check it out, man.
I'm going to hit that ball around with the racket.
Hit that ball.
Would really like a Mario Golf game, though.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
All right, what else you got? Come on, keep this thing alive for us. It's resting on your shoulders.
My shoulders. I can't bear the weight, man.
I'm
all out of topics. I gave you what I got.
Okay. All right, fair enough. So, we'll wrap this up then.
We got to repair Pat's game room a little bit here.
Right before this podcast, we came into the game room, and it would seem as though, you know, we don't have any proof, but... What we assume happened is that my larger fat cat jumped up onto a shelf that I had screwed into the wall and ripped the shelf out and dropped my boxes all over the place and my Sonic stuffed animals, my Crash Bandicoot, and so now there's a bunch of holes in the wall and I'm gonna have a good time repairing that this week. So on that note, a shorter episode of the Game Boys podcast. If you made it this far, thank you again for listening.
Thank you.
Tweet us those Q&As. We didn't have any this week because nobody cares about us. So if you're listening to this, please, we're begging you, we're sending out an SOS to send us Q&As for next week through Twitter, Facebook. And on that note, you can subscribe to us on Google Play, iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and all that nonsense. So, once again, thank you for listening. And Bowman, what do you have to say to the people this week?
This is Bowman signing.
Okay, this is Ellen Ripley with the Nostromo signing off.